For April 20th, 2017, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Everybody, it's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 209. I'm Matt Cleave, senior developer and host of the podcast. With me as always, front-end dev and also host of the podcast, Mike Herschel. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
Mike, I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because it's DrupalCon season.
It is DrupalCon season. I'm excited.
DrupalCon season is a great time to be in the Drupal community. This time we're talking about a lot of people's trip to fabulous Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes. The land of crab cakes. Do they have crabs there?
Yes, absolutely. They're known for their blue crab in Baltimore, but they're also known for their Drupal. And April 24th through 28th, we're going to fly you to the Baltimore Convention Center to go to fabulous Baltimore for DrupalCon, right?
All right, so who are our contestants today?
Our contestants on the show today, we'll start with senior technical architect who collects trolls from good people as they cross their bridge. What? I think I just got trolled by reading this description.
I didn't write this.
Senior technical architect Sally Young from London. She's just a fish on Drupal.org, been there for about 10 years. Hey, Sally.
Hi. Apparently I live under a bridge as well, according to the spider.
I totally just got trolled by the Google Doc. Talked about somebody trolling me.
Next up, we have Matteo Bosch, who is a senior developer here at Lullabot. He is Eoipso on Drupal.org, the author of the RESTful JSON API, Simple OAuth, among many other modules, actively trying to make Drupal API first, and he is from the sun-baked sands of Mallorca in Spain. Welcome, Matteo.
Thank you.
Matteo, will you please say your username for me?
I don't even know. I would say Eoipso with a zero for better readability.
I'm not sure the readability's improved, but I'll go with you. Also with us, we have technical project manager at Lullabot. He's a VR enthusiast, recently promoted to senior developer to technical project manager. From West Philadelphia, born and raised. Actually, I think he was born in Oklahoma. Hey, David Burns.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
And next, we have the Lullabot's event and logistics coordinator, who keeps Lullabot running super smoothly out of Des Moines, Iowa. Welcome, Haley Scarpino.
Hi, thanks, guys.
Haley, how long have you been at Lullabot?
It'll be 10 years on June 1st.
That's amazing.
Whoa.
And how many times have you been on the Lullabot podcast?
This is my first one.
We've done this 209 times and we haven't had you on?
No.
That is a shame.
Also on the podcast, we have another VR enthusiast. He's a senior front-end developer, a member of Backdrop CMS's project management committee from Columbus, Ohio, Wes Ruvalcaba. Hey, Wes.
Hello.
Glad you're coming. DrupalCon Baltimore is going to be cool, right?
That's what I hear. Yeah. Crabs. It'll be crabs.
Last but not least, we have a senior developer here at Lullabot, the host of the critically acclaimed Hacking Culture podcast, free open source software enthusiast, co-lead of Drupal H Configuration Management Initiative from snowy Minneapolis, mtift on Drupal.org for about 7 years. Welcome, Matthew Tift.
Good morning, Mike and everyone else.
Good morning.
Most of you we have on are speaking at DrupalCon Baltimore, right? For any of you, is it your first time talking at a DrupalCon?
Mine.
Mine being David Burns?
Yep. I've done presentations at camps and stuff, and one of them had technical difficulties, so I'm a little nervous going into the DrupalCon one.
All right.
Okay, so everybody, as they talk, everybody who has spoken at DrupalCon has to give Dave a tip.
There we go.
That's a good idea. So, David, what are you going to be talking about at DrupalCon?
I will be co-presenting with Wes, and we will be talking about web VR and doing a demo using A-Frame to build a VR experience in the browser.
So when you talk about A-Frame, what is that?
A-Frame is a HTML, XML-style markup that allows you to interact with the web VR and WebGL APIs that are being baked into browsers now.
So VR, of course, you're talking about virtual reality, the the nerds who have the glasses on and are someplace else when they should be, you know, doing their work or something, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, very cool. Very no nerds here.
Just no nerds. Very awesome. So Wes, you're co-presenting with Dave. So what do you think? That's kind of the future, right?
No, I don't know. that's a hard question.
Yeah.
We'll see where VR goes. I'm convinced that the B2B kind of stuff is gonna go well now that everything's so cheap. There's a lot of good uses there, but the consumer,
yeah, what do you
business
mean?
To business, like
and what is cheap? Because my understanding is like a decent VR rig is still a couple grand. Is that right?
Cheap for businesses is what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Well, and even a cardboard, you know, you can do some pretty decent things for certain types of businesses.
What is a cardboard?
A Google Cardboard is, so everyone was coming out with these expensive headsets, and yeah. Google was like, yeah, we can make this for like $20. And so they did. It has the little
out of cardboard, I'm assuming?
Yes, some of them, yes. So it's actually a specification. So anyone can make a Google Cardboard. It just has to follow certain rules. And then you put a little QR code on it to let that the QR code actually has information about the distance with the lenses and how far the phone is and
neat.
All that kind of fun stuff.
So Dave, Lullabot made a Google Cardboard last year.
We did. We had about 1,000 of them that we gave out at the booth last year.
Yeah.
And they seem to be a pretty hot commodity collector's thing at the last DrupalCon.
Neat.
Yeah, they were one of the coolest pieces of swag I've seen.
Are we doing that again?
I have 6 left.
Oh.
This year they're extremely limited. You have to attend our session to get one.
If you find Wes and tell him a joke.
Yeah, you have to beat me up in like one of the corners of the main room. They just fall out of me like loot. It's pretty great.
So what exactly does WebVR give you? I'm imagining I put on a VR headset and I'm flying through a computer like Hackers or something, or
that's pretty close.
Yeah.
You totally could build that. Okay. It's a plain canvas when you start, right? And then A-Frame specifically gives you like primitive shapes like circles, spheres, rhombus that you could drop into a space, but you could also import like 3D models. You could import 2D video, 3D videos, this crazy thing called equal rectangular images that when you drop them into A-Frame, it puts like a sky around the whole environment. So a 360 photo is a great example of something like that.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. I'll ask the important question here, Dave and Wes. What in the hell does this have to do with Drupal?
Drupal's a content management system, and you could pull content into a 3D space and have a completely new viewing experience.
Wild.
Yep, it could definitely be hooked into Drupal, but it's not necessarily Drupal specific. But
well, since you're speaking at DrupalCon, I kind of thought maybe you were going to at least make the tie.
Come talk to us at the booth.
Cool. Awesome. So, Matteo, I heard you're trying to make Drupal API first or something another. Is that right?
Well, I am trying to help for that to happen. Yes.
It's like we had a podcast with Matteo about that before. We'll link to that one in the show notes because it was a super good one.
I just refer to all of Matteo's modules as the Matteo stack of Drupal now.
It's actually probably not too far off.
I'm trying, a while back I'm at my first Lullabot annual employee review, and I was asked what would you like to work on, and I thought, would it be cool to work on an API first project? And next year I was involved in one, and then I realized, wow, Drupal is not there yet. What can we do to help that happen? And a couple of years later, here we are. Yeah.
So you're given 2 sessions, right? I see you have advanced service web services with JSON API and also the API first initiative. Tell me about your sessions.
So they are both kind of an update of the same sessions that I gave in Dublin. 6 months later, with more information about both topics. So for the JSON API session, we've done a lot. We are really close to getting a stable release of the JSON API module, which will kind of bridge most of the gaps that the RESTful module in core that we have right now is leaving there for actual decoupled applications. And so hopefully that will get stable soon. It's projected to get into core for Drupal 8.5. So it's going to be a while to get stable. So we're going to talk about all that and the things and what it does. And then there is another session then about all things API first for Drupal, which I'm co-presenting with Wim Lears from Acquia. And then we're going to talk about in that one for the things that we've been improving in the Drupal ecosystem, not just JSON API, but also OAuth, also Drupal Core, the serialization system, and what we need to do next, like bring GraphQL also closer to core and, you know, everything to make this happen, Drupal be API first.
So, Matteo, tell us about JSON API. What is JSON API?
JSON API is... is a specification with a terrible name, if you ask me, because everyone assumes that it's any API that is formatted in the JSON format. But it's actually a little bit more than that. It gives you a lot of directives on how you should shape your JSON responses and how you should interact with the API. And by that, it kind of makes a lot of decisions for you, and you gain a lot from that because other tools can implement that, and you get a lot of free software that integrates with it.
I'd say about the name, though, it's like impossible to Google.
I was gonna say, does JSON stand for like JavaScript object notation, or
It's that JSON.
Thanks for Douglas Crockford for that one. Yeah,
It kind of started as part of the Ember community, but it rapidly got adopted by many different communities. So now it's very common to have JSON API with React frameworks, with iOS apps, etc. So, yeah.
Did you kind of describe it as an open standard version of GraphQL, in the sense that you can fetch lots of related data in one go?
Exactly. It's Creative Commons, so it's that's why it's open, and it allows you to do pretty much. I think that pretty much everything that GraphQL does, except some of the edge cases. Some of those are covered by JSON API. Some of those are covered by GraphQL. But the bulk of the features, they pretty much overlap. So they solve kind of the same use case, because the use case is, you know, be able to communicate with front end and back ends.
Fantastic. So, Sally, you're talking about a little bit of API stuff too, right?
Yeah. So it's related, but not the same. I'm speaking with Preston So and Matt Grill from Acquia, and we're coming at this set of problems from the perspective of people who are building the front end apps mostly. So we're going to be talking about things that we wish we had with Drupal right now, things that are already there that you can do that are really great, like the Matteo stack, for example. And then we're hoping to talk about a little bit more of Drupal's architecture and what we can do to try and have that a little bit more decoupled in the future.
You're basically going to write a bunch of tickets or a bunch of issues for the Drupal community to solve, right?
By Drupal community, we mean you.
Yeah, thanks, Matteo.
No, that would be unfair, because there's a lot of people working on those.
Yeah.
There are.
So your session is titled Decoupled from the Inside Out. So you're actually going to talk a little bit about what you want from Drupal, and are you going to talk about how to do it, how to actual decouple?
I hope a little bit.
It's decoupling in the sense that we have our CMS and our front end app, but also how can we maybe decouple the insides of our CMS a little bit more as well.
Interesting.
There's an issue I left in the ideas queue on Drupal.org that talks about it a little bit. If you're interested, go and check that out.
Sally, one thing, many of us have spoken at different camps and conferences along the way, but one thing you're doing that's a little different is you're co-presenting with a couple other people who you don't actually work with on a day-to-day basis. Is that tricky, getting that coordinated?
No, it's actually fine because we all work remote, so yeah. We're all kind of used to asynchronous communications and having Google Hangouts and that. So, yeah, it's good. And I see them at Drupal events a lot anyway, so I probably see those two about as much as I see other Lollabots right now because I'm traveling a lot.
All right, Matthew Tift, I hear you have a session in DrupalCon. Is that correct?
Yes, you heard that correctly, Mike.
So what are you going to be waxing poetic about for 1 hour in Baltimore, Maryland here in a week?
Well, I won't actually be waxing for a full hour because this is in the core conversations track.
Okay.
But the title of my talk is Drupal in the Public Sphere. And in essence, it grew out of some work that I did with Dries Boitart last summer, where we looked at commit credit data. And we tried to sort of analyze the Drupal community, and we ended up settling on trying to answer a question called, that in the name of the article, was who sponsors Drupal? But it really left a lot of open questions, because all kinds of people would say, well, wait a second, if you're going to measure commit credits, what about quality of work? Or what about all of these non-code contributions? Or what about all of these really complex issues? And so this talk in Baltimore then kind of takes a very different approach, but looks at a similar question of trying to understand Drupal. But instead of looking at commit credit data, I'm looking at public sphere theory. And in essence, it provides sort of an easy way for us to understand what we do in a different way. And it gets, you know, really tempting just to kind of think about Drupal just as code, or just as something that we do with our coworkers, or something that just happens in the issue queue. But this talk is in essence a way to sort of situate Drupal within the larger world and look at the other kinds of influences we have.
So is this a continuation of the blog post that you and Dries had worked on previously?
No, it's not really connected to it, other than that post opened up a lot of questions for me that I'm trying to explore. I've been reading a lot of public sphere theory, starting with a guy named Jürgen Habermas. Dries had kind of explored this issue a couple of years ago in his keynote in Amsterdam, where he talked about public goods, but that really kind of takes an economic approach. And this is a lot more about understanding, or trying to understand at least, like how it is that what we do on a daily basis gets done, because it's just a really hard question to answer. So this is just kind of another answer to that.
What exactly is the public sphere? I'm picturing like some sculpture out front of like a big like newspaper building.
I think it means the earth is round.
Ah.
Is that correct, Matthew?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I guess that's not exactly a household name. The public sphere, the easiest way to think about it is like a coffee shop. But really, it's more like a coffee shop in the 18th century. So you have this idea that we all have our own private lives. And then we have like policy that gets made. You think about the government and people that are like the Drupal Association making choices. But really, where all of the work gets done is in these various publics. So that's kind of the in-between thing. And public sphere theory sort of imagines, in a perfect world, a place where everyone is equal, everyone can contribute, there's no requirements for joining, and it's simply about having good discussions with whoever has good ideas. So you have this idea of critical debate, but the public sphere is kind of like a group of people getting together, maybe even like on a podcast, hashing out issues and then coming up with plans of action, maybe about something as, you know, like an API or something like that, or how Drupal should work. So the public sphere is kind of this theory that there's this in-between area between our public, our private lives and the decisions that get made by the higher ups, saying that really the most power comes from those of us like in this in-between place, this public sphere where anyone can hop in and offer their opinion.
You know what else isn't a household name? Jürgen Habermas.
Yeah, Jürgen Habermas is the guy who coined this term in the 60s, and then it wasn't even translated into English until the 1989. But there's all kinds of other public sphere theorists. So I try and avoid getting too much into the actual theory part of getting too deep in that, but instead sort of taking some of these key ideas of reimagining how we understand Drupal. Because right now we have a lot of ways to understand Drupal. Like we some people talk about like the Drupal island, in the sense that we think we're just here. And, you know, there was this whole idea of getting off the Drupal island that kind of took hold for a while. But I think the idea of a Drupal island, or of the idea of Drupal as just a business tool or something that's just for making money, sort of leaves out a lot of the other people and a lot of the other uses. So rather than getting too much into the theoretical aspects and who said what, and although I will be, you know, dropping some other names and terms for people that want to find out more, this is more about kind of reimagining or suggesting another way that we might think about what it is that we're doing and the effect it has on the broader world.
Right on.
Wow. Do you feel that there's going to be enough space during the core conversation? Is there any way that you are planning for conversation to happen after?
Oh, yeah. It's a core conversation. So I'm going to say what I just said now in 30 minutes or less.
Very slowly.
And then we're going to talk and people can discuss in true public sphere practice.
So meta.
And if you want a much more technical discussion, we're also going to be trying to get together with a bunch of people to try and solve configuration management workflows. So if you have ideas about that, Gabor Hoitzi is trying to put together people who have ideas about configuration management, and that's way more technical and a lot more boring, but really something that we actually need.
Is that going to be a buff?
I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be like a meeting of people that want to help out with figuring out how to solve some of these really tricky issues with configuration management.
All right. Well, that sounds, that actually kind of sounds exciting right there too. For people like me, you know. So, Matt Cleave, you know what else is exciting?
Yes.
What's that?
That Haley Scarpino's on the podcast.
I know. We've been building up to this. It's taken 208 other podcasts to build up to this moment.
In about 21 minutes.
Yes, yes. Haley, you are not speaking at DrupalCon, but what are you doing?
I'm not speaking at DrupalCon, but I'm working with Pantheon to get the party organized this year, our joint party.
The Lullabot party is also the Pantheon party, and it's going to be great.
I think so.
So I see on my notes right here that this is the 9th annual DrupalCon party. Have you been involved with organizing all of them?
I have, every single one.
Oh, wow. So do you have any favorites besides the upcoming one?
Besides the upcoming one, my favorite party was in LA. I loved the venue that we used there. It was such a neat space. So that was my favorite.
Yes.
LA was, let's see. That was the really big room Lots of people showed up, and it was
Ace Hotel, right?
Yeah, it was fairly low key.
That was New Orleans. We were at that hotel, and we were outside by the pool.
Yeah,
and it
tacos.
Yeah, so tacos. They had tacos.
Yes.
And the gigantic Lullabot projected on the building in the front.
I think that's the party where I jumped on Seth Brown and ripped his suit.
You're a fancy guy.
Sorry, Seth. So tell us about this party. I hear there's going to be dinosaurs.
Yeah, totally. So this year we're teaming up with Pantheon, which we're obviously very, very excited about. And we're having our party at the Maryland Science Center. So I think that's going to be a really good spot for us. And they have dinosaurs there. So that always is a good thing. And it also has a beautiful, well, I haven't been there yet, but it looks like what is a beautiful view of the harbor. So it's kind of, I think, getting a good taste of Baltimore and what they have to offer. So, so it'll be on Wednesday night, April 26th at the Maryland Science Center at 8:00. So
if I'm not mistaken, the Chicago DrupalCon, the official party was at a museum that had a giant dinosaur?
It was at the Field Museum. That was
so I'm totally looking to reminisce about like that experience and compared to this one.
Dinosaurs and Drupal.
Yeah, I'm bringing my sketch pad. Nice.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. I think it was like maybe the last official DrupalCon party that was put on by the Drupal Association. I had such a great time at it. I was there with my friend Dustin, and we were drinking our drinks, and then you would turn around and be like, "Whoa, a dinosaur!" You turn around again, "Whoa, a mastodon!" And it was just very surreal. So I'm super excited about this because I am. I'm not the most dinosaur aficionado in Lullabot, but I am one.
But you're one of them.
I am one of them. I'm a dinosaur enthusiast.
So when people plan to come out to the party on Wednesday night, will there be food there? Will there be drinks there? Like, what should people think about?
Yeah, definitely. There definitely will be drinks. And we'll also have some desserts. So since it's not till 8:00, we figured most people will have eaten by the time they come out. But we're going to have an amazing array of desserts. So that will be there. We're also going to have a photo booth, which should be a really good time. And hopefully if the weather's nice, we'll have some outside space as well. So kind of everything. And I've been checking the forecast, and it looks like it looks like it's going to be a nice night in a week. So
do we know how far it is from the venue?
About a 10-minute walk. So it's not terribly far. Definitely walkable. Assuming the weather's nice.
How many DrupalCons have you been to, Haley?
That's a good question.
You've been to some Europe ones too, right?
I've been to one every year since I started. So I guess this maybe will be my 10th or 11th. Cause I went to DrupalCon Barcelona, the first time when I first started, but that's the only European DrupalCon that I've been to. So that might make it 11. This might be my 11th one. I should count them up though.
Wow. So we're taking registrations for the party, right? I saw an Eventbrite link. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is a link. We have a link to the Eventbrite on lullabot.com on the articles page. And you don't have to register to attend the party, but you do have to have your badge for DrupalCon.
Okay.
But we're encouraging people to register just so that we can sort of keep a tabs on how many people will be there. So definitely go and register.
We'll have that link on the podcast note as well.
Oh, great.
I think.
Yeah, maybe. All right. So when we get back, we're going to ask everybody to talk about a session that's not theirs and something that they might be excited about for this coming DrupalCon.
Yeah, after going to, I think for many of us, it will be many DrupalCons.
Mm-hmm.
What still excites you? What are you looking forward to? What should a new person think about in their new DrupalCon experience? Coming up right after this. Hey, it's lead developer and trainer Joe Schindler from Drupal ISB. What's going on, Joe?
Oh, not much. I'm just hanging out.
Yeah?
Sitting at my desk, wondering.
I doubt you're doing that because there's a bunch of new content on the Drupal ISB website, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, actually. We've been working really hard on continuing to add content to our Drupal 8 module development guide. We've been adding just a lot of information about how to make use of hooks and events and plugins and that kind of stuff. At least I've been working on that. Blake has been working on content related to Drupal's entity API and field types. So we got a bunch of content about that. Amber has been adding more new content to our existing theming guide. I expect within the next couple of days, we'll have a bunch of new tutorials on the site for how to handle breakpoints and responsive images in Drupal 8 themes, which is pretty cool.
Wow. So, you know, well, that's been exciting for me to watch is the amount of Drupal 8 content that just keeps being added to the website.
The big ones we have right now are the theming guide and the Drupal 8 module developer guide. The idea is that these guides are sort of a reference and they contain all of the baseline information that you would need in order to, for example, build a module. Once we've got those completed, we'll start to do things that are a little bit more project specific, say, you know, build a module that contains a block that does X, but we'll be able to point to our reference guides and say, if you don't know how to build a block, here's the reference on how to do that.
You know, hey, I need a module on Drupal 8. It's very similar to, well, how long is a piece of string? There's so many different things you could be doing within Drupal's APIs.
Yeah, that's accurate. How long is a piece of string?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a metaphor. I didn't say it was a good one.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, thanks, man. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
All right, welcome back. We're talking with a number of bots about DrupalCon and presentations, and this is DrupalCon Baltimore.
Fabulous Baltimore, Maryland. We'll fly you and a companion April 24th through 28th to DrupalCon Baltimore at the Baltimore Convention Center.
We just talked about our presentations, and what we're going to talk about now is presentations that we're excited to see. And we're also going to give maybe a little tip to David Burns, who this is his first ever DrupalCon presentation. Mateo, you go first.
Okay. So I was thinking about a tip, and it's like, do not do something that I did.
Okay.
So I was so nervous. Obviously, everyone's nervous when they're presenting at a DrupalCon, because you're taking someone's time, and all those people, their time is precious, right?
This ain't making me any less nervous.
Right. No, I mean, you're going to be nervous like everyone else, right? So I was like that, and I was talking maybe too fast, and my mouth was all dry, and I need to just drink a little bit of water. And I said, okay, you can just stop and go there. And then when I was about to take a sip, I thought, now it would be a great moment for something to happen to fill the void. And then I asked for an applaud. And do not do that. Because, I mean, they clapped. And it was kind of fun that I did that. But it was kind of, I don't know where that came from. So...
you just asked people to clap just for the heck of it?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, a little awkward. It was
pumping up the crowd at a concert.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody.
I think you need a hype person for that.
it felt really cheap. I know. So yeah, that's my tip. So if I had to choose another session, and I had one prepared, but then everyone started talking about their presentations, and I said, no, I want to choose that one. But I'm going to choose something that hasn't come up during the podcast.
Okay.
And it's improving code quality with static analysis. And this is by Joseph Purcell. And it's about understanding your code and from an automated way. So something like when PHP Storm highlights your code and tells you, hey, you're... this code is not reachable, or this is not well structured, or this is not following the Drupal standards and things like that. So I'm hoping to go to that session to see what are the tools to understand code and how to kind of connect that with the development flow, maybe by running those tests in a CI or something like that. I don't know. I'm excited because I feel like code that understands code is kind of very meta, and something in there excites me about it.
That's pretty awesome. We'll we'll throw a link to that in our show notes too. All this.
So Mike Herschel, you'll be at DrupalCon Baltimore. Since you're not speaking, we didn't hear from you the first time around. So tell me, what are you excited to hear?
Well, Dries talked about on his blog post, he talked about some new governance models, and I'm really excited to see that just because there's been a lot of discussion in the community lately. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I also have some, as far as tips, Mateo made me think of something that really helped me out. Like the first thing, when I spoke previously, I would write down in my presenter notes, I would write down in all caps, slow down. And I would put that in between paragraphs just to remind myself to slow down. And it would also make myself laugh at myself, which, you know, kind of takes a little bit of edge off. And then another thing that I think gets the audience engaged early is asking a question during the introductions. So, for example, I recently spoke at a non-Drupal conference talking about Drupal. And yeah, in the beginning, I asked, who here has worked with Drupal? And then a couple hands would go up, and I'd say, all right, you know, who here has heard of Drupal? You know, and a couple more hands would come up. All right, that's cool too. And then I would always have my kind of canned joke, and I would say, who here is just here to hang out? And that would get people laughing. And, you know, you could translate that into anything instead of, you know, Drupal, you know, VR or something like that. And it just gets the audience a little bit engaged, which, you know, it's funny.
Yeah. I enjoy your canned humor, Mike.
Yeah, it is a little bit of canned, but you know, when you're up in front of people, you know you're teaching, but you're also kind of entertaining. You know, if you're a little there dry and boring, you know, people are not going to be as engaged.
Okay.
You know, and the other thing that I have to say is, you know, people are going to judge you on every little thing, so don't screw it up.
So I don't know. That was a little sarcastic. He was laying it on pretty thick. But you know, Mike, the one thing that I just kind of thought of was, how many DrupalCon sessions have I been to that I don't remember at all right now? It's going to be okay. I don't know that you want to be on that list.
You'll remember this one. It's going to be awesome.
I was going to say, yeah, now that I've said that aloud, like, I don't think you want to be on that list, but... Yeah, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Sally Young, tell me what you're looking forward to hearing at DrupalCon, and maybe a tip for Dave.
Oh, I tried really hard to just pick one, but I'm going to be really greedy and pick three.
Whoa.
I'll be very quick. One is the workflow initiative update from Dick Olson, because that's something that's very dear to my heart, as it were. Yeah, I work on a lot of projects that use lots of complicated workflows, so I'm really interested to see where that is at in Drupal 8. The second session I'm interested in is the backwards compatibility burden and benefit session that Wim Lears is giving. So he's just going to be going through advantages and disadvantages of that, which is interesting because Dries made an announcement not too long ago about how Drupal 9 will be as easy to upgrade to as going from a point release of Drupal 8. So that is exciting. And then the third one is one that Gabor is giving about experimental modules. So when you install Drupal 8, you can see a bunch of experimental modules that are in there, which is great because it gets a lot more eyes on these modules that people are playing around with. But this session, I guess, we'll talk more about what the future of those are and how they're going.
I was going to give you a hard time about cheaping out and picking three, but I kind of sense the theme there, Sally, that it's all kind of the cutting edge, latest, greatest Drupal 8 landscape type things. So I see why you did it. That's good.
Matthew Tift, what are you excited?
I am going to give a plug for a session that sometimes is not as well attended, which is the Thursday morning keynote. And this year, it is by a scholar named Zeynep Tufekci, and she is going to be talking about technology and its workforce at an ethics crossroad. And this one looks really interesting to me. And it's not just that she is an academic and a public sphere theorist, but it's also that the topic of her talk looks really good. So I'm interested to hear what she says about the intersections between technology and society. So that's my pick.
That's awesome. And do you have a tip for David Burns? And I think, Sally, you still have to give Dave a tip too.
Well, I take 20s.
So my tip is that you should rehearse your talk over and over again, and not just in your head. You have to actually give the talk to your cat or whomever is willing to listen to it. I always feel way more nervous giving talks that I haven't rehearsed enough.
Yeah, very true. Matthew?
Well, that was sneaky of you, Mike, because my first recommendation was to have a joke ready, because there's always that brief moment once you've gone up on stage and then you're finally ready, and then it's not quite time yet to talk. And like you mentioned, Mike, it's good to have a joke ready for that moment. So, but you already said that tip, and I was going to say it. And if you're nervous, you get a lot less nervous if, like Sally had mentioned, you practice a lot, because I honestly think that when you go to someone's talk, you can tell if they've practiced it a lot. You can tell if they've got the timing down. You can tell if there's certain words of phrase that they're emphasizing, that they're pausing in specific places. So I would definitely practice in front of cats if you have kids, and practice in front of your kids and see where they get bored, or practice in front of a spouse or a friend or someone who doesn't know anything about the topic. Or if it's a specifically technical topic, which I don't think yours being VR would be have any sort of specific audience. Just really, it doesn't take many run-throughs where you start to feel really, really, really practiced, and where you can start to be confident that you know what the next slide is coming. You know what you're going to say when you see that slide. So then when you're up there on the stage, you're just doing what you had done before. And I think that alone can be, for a lot of people, the difference between having a talk that people come away with being excited about and not. Because if you're up there and struggling and apologizing and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I guess, that slide's not in the right order, and oh, that doesn't look very good, or oh, I'm sorry, that's kind of small text, you know, that to me says, well, you didn't necessarily spend a lot of time prepping. And
why do you have to criticize me, Matthew?
I'm not criticizing anyone, because
I'm just kidding.
There's certainly people out there that would prefer just to have that more laid back talk, where you know you pull up a command line in a text editor and say, all right, let's see what we can do. And you know, those work well too. But usually if you're doing something like that and there's that sort of interactivity piece, that means you're really confident on the command line. It's not like you're going to be, you know, pulling up man pages for every little thing you have to do. But it's the same kind of idea. If you're practiced, if you're passionate about it, people will notice that. And I know you guys are passionate about VR, so that part won't be a problem. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that you can really do then is just do some practice, and I'm sure it'll be awesome.
Practice seems like a sacrifice to the demo gods, right?
The demo gods?
Yeah, like if you're gonna pull up the terminal and actually just try and start doing something. Like,
never do a live demo. Always record videos.
No, the live demo is the best part.
We are doing a live demo.
I say that, but I do live demo all the time.
The live demo is more authentic.
Those are like the best sessions I think I've been to, is somebody who's confident enough and practiced enough to just jump in and actually do something. I have seen it gone terribly wrong before.
Oh, yeah. And I always have to...
If you're going to do that, you should at least have a backup video.
Yes.
Because I've seen sessions, where they've been like doing stuff with hardware in particular, and it just, hardware sometimes just doesn't work on that day, even though you've rehearsed it like 50 times earlier. And then it's just super awkward for everyone.
I have an admission to make, actually. So there was a DrupalCon San Francisco in, what was that, 2008 or so?
No, it was
2010. Pantheon. I believe it was what turned into Pantheon. There was a presentation, and they were spooling up a new environment. And on the command line, it said, your new environment here is here. Here's the credentials to log into it. And so I actually opened a terminal and logged into it, and it actually kind of spoiled part of their demo because it didn't have like the first pop-up, like, hey, welcome to Pantheon. It's like, yeah.
The truth comes out. They've been looking for that person.
Oh, that is awesome.
He's going to be getting a call tomorrow that's like, yeah, we're not going to be doing that party with you anymore.
Pantheon legal department.
I could have taken it much further, but I said, hey, cool, it actually worked, and then logged out.
Hey, another thing I was going to mention to you, Dave, is that I've practiced my sessions over Hangouts with people. You know, so I'm sure you could just do an at here and a Lullabot Slack channel and grab a couple people to listen to you.
Wes actually lined one up for yesterday, and it was my first real time walking through the demo, and it's very apparent that a few more rounds of practice would benefit. Yeah,
right on. Well, you have some time, so good.
And Amber Matz gave me probably one of the best recommendations so far. I mean, all of yours are great, and I'm going to take them to heart. But since we're doing a live demo, she's like, and I was commenting out certain sections as I went through, she's like, make sure you use the hotkeys instead of like going to this line, refreshing the page, and having something not load because I forgot to like close where the comment section was at. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a very brilliant way, and I tried it a few times with that. And it went much smoother.
Amber is a professional.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
So another thing you could do if you insist on doing a live demo is during one of your practice run-throughs, record it and have that as a backup if it doesn't work at the time.
Ooh, that's a pro tip.
Yeah.
Ooh, good idea.
I think Sally said that about having the backup video, right? So
Yeah.
So, Wes, you're talking with Dave, so maybe you should give him a tip, and I want to hear what you're looking forward to hearing from at DrupalCon.
My tip, I just never take anything too seriously. Everyone wants you to succeed. You're there to have fun, and we're talking about something fun. I always like making an idiot of myself and making dumb jokes. I'll poke the audience in the beginning, like, hey, nerds, what's up? Or, you know, just kind of make fun of them.
Wow.
It usually surprises them. Okay. Yeah, it's great. It's good times. Always gets a laugh. So it's kind of, it's like Mike Herschel. It's just, it's more like Mike Herschel meets Bender Rodriguez. Futurama. So, I go with the flow, whatever. I'm definitely one of the more fast and loose people. Like Matt was mentioning before, Matthew was mentioning before, I taught for many years, so I just kind of got used to talking in front of people. But for better or worse, I have found out that if I am jet lagged, I should practice a lot because my brain is going to be functioning at like 30% capacity.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You've been doing a decent amount of traveling. Have you been giving this talk or a similar talk?
Yeah, a longer version of this one. Because the talk we're giving at DrupalCon is 25 minutes.
Oh, wow.
This one is abbreviated. I basically added Dave and cut my part of the talk in quarter. So that's going to be cool. I think we got everything in.
Wes, what session are you looking forward to that isn't yours?
So yeah, the session I'm looking forward to is called 15 Ways to Debug Drupal 8 for Frontenders. And that is actually, that's been a problem for me. So just to kind of understand like what I can do to figure out what's going wrong where or where I need to like get at the information I'm trying to get at has been a challenge. So that one sounds really good. The speaker is Zakia Kabir. It sounds from chapter 3, but anyway, that's going to be huge being able to debug Drupal 8 as a front ender. Cause it just feels a lot different from 7, like all the Twig stuff, super easy. But as soon as you get out the Twig stuff, it's like, where am I going? What am I doing?
Yep. I can definitely,
that's tricky. That sounds very interesting. That's probably going to be very useful for people.
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of, pattern talks that look interesting. There's Atomic Design, Drupal 8, and pattern libraries in the wild. I might try and get find my way there as well. I love those things and kind of thinking about how to organize stuff.
Dave Burns. So did we help you at all? Or are you just more nervous now?
No. Good suggestions. I really appreciate it. I've got a tip for myself. If I start bailing, expect your co-presenter to step up.
Sure. Bring
yeah,
it.
Just lean on your coworkers. That's how it works. So Dave, what sessions are you looking forward to?
So yeah, since I recently transitioned from senior dev to technical PM, the one I'm looking forward to is on inheriting someone else's mess, lessons learned from a rescue project. As a developer, I've been on a number of projects with Lullabot, where we're coming in mid project and, you know, tightening things up and creating better workflows. So I have experience from the developer perspective, but not really the tech PM perspective. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. We have been on some messes together, Dave.
Yes. And we always shine through.
So Haley Scarpino, for being your like 11th or so DrupalCon, you might have some tips for an attendee. Can you tell somebody who might be coming to DrupalCon for the first time, or maybe someone who for DrupalCon is old hat, like tell them what they might be able to do to have a more enjoyable experience at DrupalCon?
Come to the Lullabot party.
Oh, that's a good start. However, if you come to the Lullabot party, the keynote that Matthew Tiff mentioned is probably not going to be in the cards.
Probably not.
Oh, come on.
That Thursday morning keynote becomes a little more difficult after, you know.
I resolved not to have a headache on Thursday morning.
Yeah, so we'll maybe see how that works out, Wes.
Maybe the tip might be actually get some sleep occasionally.
Yes, yeah. Definitely take care of yourself. I feel like people just go crazy at DrupalCon and don't sleep and overdo it. And
yeah,
where the Drupal flu came from. So I feel like people should definitely take care of themselves and strike some balance with their DrupalCon.
Yes, and wash your hands to prevent.
I was just going to say that. Like,
yeah,
wash your hands and get some rest, and Drupal flu doesn't follow you home.
Yeah. We're being a bunch of dirty nerds. Come on.
Don't talk to anyone.
Yeah. That's a little backwards.
Lock it down.
Stay out of the convention center.
We'll have hand sanitizer at our booth, so.
Hey, what a great transition. So Lullabot will have a booth in the exhibit hall, and I'm told that after all of these fine people speak, there'll be an opportunity to come and talk to them at our booth.
Yeah, ours we'll definitely have one, and since we have a short talk, we have more stuff to show and can actually demo the VR stuff.
Are you going to have like a headset people. There for people to
Yeah, we'll awesome. We'll have quite a few headsets there and people, and we can talk to people about, you know, what we've been up to and show off some cool things that we didn't have time to bring up in our presentation.
Cool.
And you can pick Dave's brain, who's been doing the most web VR stuff. I'm just the looks. That's really sorry, being ridiculous.
At the Lullabot booth, there will be one of a myriad of fine Lullabot friendly individuals who, if you know, want to stop by and say, hey.
"Yep,"
and like, "Hey, I want to talk to Matthew Tift about why the Earth is round,"
or talk to Mateo about that Jason guy.
Yeah.
Or Sally.
Does anybody have anything they would like to add? Let's go lightning round. What are you excited about at DrupalCon? Any tips? Anything you want to say? David Burns, go.
Looking forward to the dinosaur at the Lullabot / Pantheon party.
Matthew Tift.
I'm looking just forward to seeing lots of people.
Yeah, that's always a huge part of DrupalCon, is just kind of getting back in touch with your friends in the community, right?
And new people,
sure. Sally Young.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone too. I'm actually going to miss my favorite part of DrupalCon this year because I have to fly home early, but I would say trivia because it's the best.
And trivia night is like Thursday night after the conference
Thursday
is pretty
night,
much done, yeah.
Yeah, it's typically emceed by Lullabot's own Jeff Eaton too.
And it will be again this year.
Nice.
Cool.
Yep.
But you're flying home early, Sally? Jeez.
Yeah, I have to run an event in London, so I won't be there, unfortunately, but I hope that you can all come together and crush my trivia enemies on my behalf.
And I highly recommend the Drupal trivia for newcomers, because if newcomers go and join a team, that team gets extra points.
That's
just
true.
For somebody new. Yeah. So please go to it, even if this is your first DrupalCon.
Yeah, it's not all like, you know, nerdy Drupal trivia too. Usually there's a pretty good assortment and it's very enjoyable. It's a fun night. Wes, any final thoughts or anything you want to add?
Oh, I'm totally looking forward to being able to have a drink in my hand and drawing a dinosaur who is actually in front of me again. That is like life-making events.
So seriously, you're gonna sit there and sketch a dinosaur?
Yes, I have an illustration degree. That's like, how often do you get to draw dinosaur bones and have a drink in your hand? That's epic.
Don't spill on the dinosaur. That would be bad.
I won't. I won't try to feed the dinosaur either this time.
this time.
Yeah. No, it was such a blast. Looking forward to seeing everyone and getting to hang out. And hopefully I'm going to try and sprint on some actual Drupal contrib work, which I haven't gotten to work yet. I've been trying to figure out how to contribute as a front ender. And I think maybe I finally found a way. So we'll see.
Cool. Hey, Haley, any final thoughts?
I'm excited to see everyone too. I mean, after 10 years, there's so many people in the Drupal community that I only get to see at DrupalCon. So that's very, very exciting to get to see those people and the Lullabots, you know, we don't see each other as much as I would like. So
yeah. And come to the Maryland Science Center and see our party. Come to the
booth.
That's right. Yeah.
Come to the booth. We've got good swag this year.
Chances are Haley will be there.
Chances are.
Get a good piece of swag if you say, hey, Haley.
That's right.
Mike Herschel, anything, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to say, it does kind of feel like sometimes like a high school reunion where you see people that you haven't seen in a year or so. Other than that, I don't have any final thoughts. I'm just excited to see everybody, excited for the discussions. And, you know, sometimes DrupalCon makes me feel a little bit rejuvenated with Drupal. So I'm excited to feel that. So, yeah. What about you, Matt Cleave? Any final thoughts on this podcast?
I think DrupalCon is always a little more comfortable than my high school reunion. So,
okay.
I don't know. It's not what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, should be great. I'm not going to be there though.
Yeah. Oh,
have fun on my behalf.
I will.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
As Vitor is saying goodbye.
Good night, John Boy.
Looking forward to finding my mute button.